Welcome to the KRDO Table Talk Show with Teresa Farney, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. Teresa's got the scoop on all the finest chefs, new restaurants, and the best places to dine. And now, the most elegant and gracious host in radio, Teresa Farney.
And welcome to KRDO Table Talk on KRD News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. Presented by Ranch Foods Direct. I'm Teresa Farney, the food editor at the Gazette. Today we've got such a great bunch of guests. We're going to learn about some spooky tours you don't want to miss, some vegan options around town, tamales, and empanadas, all of our favorite things. So first of all, we're going to start off with those spooky dookie tours. And we have Cessna Herrera is with us. She is the logistics coordinator for a new little outfit that's called the Locomotive Public Party Bus, and you've got a whole bunch of bar crawls and all kinds of stuff, plus some Halloween things coming up, right, Cessna?
We do.
Tell us, first of all, give us a little bit of information about what is the party bus.
Sure. So I'm with the Locomotive Events. We have a party bus that we do theme crawls on the weekends, and there's a couple of Tuesdays and Wednesdays in there. Basically, we fill up a big bus full of people, and we take them on different theme crawls to bars, breweries. We can do food theme crawls as well, and it's a lot of fun. You get to experience part of Colorado Springs, maybe some spots that you don't know a whole lot about, and you can just meet new people and sometimes even dress up.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I went on the tacos and margarita crawl. And, oh, my gosh, it was so much fun. Let me just back up a little bit. First of all, the bus itself is so much fun. It's an old school bus.
It is.
And so it's an old school bus that's been turned around and painted a bright blue.
Yes.
On the outside.
Can't
and it's got
it.
All this wonderful graffiti kind of stuff on it. And it's just so much fun. They gutted it. They took all of the seats out. And then they put in like a little bar area with stools, and they have like these love seats where you can, where they're kind of, you said one, you know, one person's back is to your other, the other person's back. But then it leaves the whole floor open for dancing, and you've got a fabulous sound system.
We
that
do.
Is so much fun. It is a blast. And here's the deal. It costs $25. That's to get on the bus and be carted around to all these fun places. The night I went on the taco and margarita, we went to four destinations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually about right.
Yes, it's usually four stops.
And then at each stop, you have the opportunity. Sometimes they do a special for you, like in our case, it was a special margarita and a special taco.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a deal, a good deal you get with joining the bus itself. What we do is we pick the crawls and we pick the locations ahead of time. You don't know where you're going, which is a mystery behind it. You only know where you start. And what we do is we go ahead and partner with these places and ask for an event or a special, whether a bus special where we can do you know, like $2 off a drink, or maybe a combination like a taco and margarita for, you know, a set amount of dollars. And it saves you a couple of bucks, and then you can also experience new places.
Yeah, I know. And meet new people.
Yes, exactly.
That's always a lot of fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
What I figured out, it cost about, it averages maybe $10 to $20 per spot. So you need to kind of factor that in, because you pay for the specials.
Correct.
At the bar.
And you know, it's not limited to the specials. If you want to get something else, you're more than welcome. It makes it easier sometimes on the businesses, but it's their time to shine also. Like, say they come up with a new cocktail that they want to present to you at a lower price, then you can go ahead and give it a try. For the brunch specials, those are usually a really good deal, because they'll make, say, biscuits and gravy and a mimosa for $8. And so you're spending less than 20 there as it is. And we're doing four different stops, so you have plenty of time to drink and eat during those stops.
Yeah, actually, you should kind of pace yourself.
No, that's the fun part.
Particularly where there's dancing involved on a moving bus, you need to be careful. And by the way, you have a special deal usually if somebody, it's pretty hard to imbibe too much on this short little trip, actually. But you do have an opportunity to get a Z trip, I believe.
Yes, Z trip is one of our partnerships or one of our sponsors. And when you get on the bus, we offer you a promo code for $10 off a ride. In Colorado Springs, you know, it's not that big, so you save a pretty good amount where you can almost cover the price of your trip home.
Right. Now then, we've talked about some of the margaritas and the beer crawls. Let's talk about those spooky tours that are coming up probably about the week of Halloween. I'm thinking you have some special things going on.
We do. So October is going to be a pretty good month for us. We like dressing up, and as it is already, so we're looking forward to dressing up the entire month. We do have a partnership with Hellscream, and what we do is it's a deal for $99. Well, you go to two of the best haunted houses in Colorado Springs, and you go directly through the VIP line. Meaning you don't have to wait in line.
Yes,
and
I'm
your entrance,
all for that.
Exactly, your entrance is covered. And we'll also do two pit stops at two breweries for Liquid Courage, if you say, to get you kind of relaxed or amped up, whatever you want to do.
So it's $99 a person, and that's going to get you, does that get you the food, or would you still be paying for food as you at the stops?
You're still paying for food if you want to eat and your own beer. This allows you to cut through the lines, pretty much a red carpet treatment, if you say. And we'll have a creepy guide just for us. And also, there's going to be a local DJ covering the haunted houses. And they'll be giving away free tickets for a few tours.
Okay. All right. Everybody's excited now. And they want to know, how do you get tickets? And where? What's the website and phone number?
Of course. So all you have to go is to locomotiveevents.com, and you can go ahead and purchase any tickets you want there for any crawls, whether it's VIP haunted crawls, or we're going to have a haunted prom, a Bloody Mary brunch, which I think is super exciting.
Yeah.
We're also celebrating Halloween itself, and we're going to have a Harry Potter crawl coming up, a tailgate. So a lot of good events. If you just go to locomotiveevents.com, you can go ahead and find the tickets there.
Okay.
And the VIP tours are going to be the 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th of October.
Excellent. Well, that's, boy, what a bunch of fun you've got coming up.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just wanted, just so you understand, the website is local, L-O-C-A-L, motive, M-O-T-I-V-E-E-V-E-N-T-S.com. So it's all spelled out, locomotiveevents.com, and that's where you can find all of the great information about the spooky tours as well as the run-of-the-mill. And you usually have, there's like three or four different tours each week.
Yes.
That you can and get involved with. Well, thank you, Cessna, for coming in today. You had a wealth of information. I appreciate your taking time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
And I know everybody's going to be excited to get on some tour or another, and hopefully it'll be a spooky one. Well, anyway, we're coming up on a break, but stay tuned. There's more appetizing talk to come. Welcome back to the second course of KRDO Table Talk, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. Now that we're moving right along with some more of our exciting guests that we have here today, and I'm very happy to have Dusty Hernandez with us. He's the owner of Santana's Vegan Grill. He's just moved from an itty-bitty tiny kiosk, drive-up kiosk that he had, to 3220 Austin Bluffs Parkway. And Dusty, so excited that your business has just been booming, so to speak.
Thank you. First of all, thanks for having me. And yeah, we're very grateful for the response we've had from the community so far.
And how did you get started in the vegan path?
So my wife, Elise, she started heading down the path of veganism, and it was just something that I wanted to support her on. She was pregnant with my daughter, Santana, which the restaurant is named after. And we both just went from there. So it's been about 4 years now.
Okay. And exactly, for those uninitiated, there's vegetarians, all types of tarians. But what is a vegan?
So that's where we don't consume anything that's animal products whatsoever. So no dairy, no meat, no butter, no cow butter, anything like that. Everything's plant-based.
Okay, the plant-based thing. Now, do you practice it, you and your wife, because you're athletic, or is it for heart issues or anything like that?
Well, it started for the health reasons, first of all, and then the ethics and stuff like that, and, you know, for the planet as well.
Right. So now, whenever I first found you, and by the way, I kept calling you. Now, okay, I'm here, and you say, yes, you're really close. You need to go there. And I did not have a GPS going. It was just in my own little BB brain, which wasn't quite getting me where I needed to go. But if you're buzzing down Austin Bluffs from, if you're going east on Austin Bluffs from, let's say, Union, you need to be looking toward the north and look for a Dunkin' Donuts.
Correct. We're right next door to Dunkin' Donuts. Like you said, we're in between Union and Academy on Austin Bluffs, and it would be right before you're heading up towards the college if you were heading west.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've got a whole big standalone building. As a matter of fact, when I got in there finally, you mentioned that your first location was about the size of the walk-in that's at your place now.
Yeah, that's right. Me and my cooks and my staff, we joke around that the walk-in refrigerator that we have now is as big as our entire location was on Academy.
But now you've expanded your staff quite a bit.
We have. I got to say thanks to my staff, my manager Herminio, my cooks Jesse and Luis and Christian. I couldn't do it without them. I travel a lot, so it's good to know that the restaurant's in good hands when I'm out in Philadelphia or Ohio or anything like that. So, yeah, those guys, we've recently hired some more people, but those are my main guys for right now. So
in addition to getting a larger space, you're getting a bigger menu.
Indeed, yeah. We've expanded our menu, so a few of our newer items are the sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, I thought you said there were no animal thing, and you're talking about sausage?
Right.
How does that work?
Our sausage is made from non-GMO soy, and our cheese is made from potato starch. And the egg substitute is by a brand named Follow Your Heart, and that's also soy-based.
Really?
Yeah.
So are the eggs always scrambled looking?
Yeah, they come in like a scrambled egg form, or what would look like an omelet. And we just lay that on top of melted cheese on a toasted bun, and it's something really good for breakfast.
Okay, let's say you want to fry tofu, but you want it to have a really crispy, crispy crust.
Yeah.
Can you roll it in that egg substitute?
That's something that we've experimented with. You can do that and use your own sort of coating. A lot of people are going towards the gluten-free thing right now, so they would avoid wheat coating in that case, obviously, but yeah, you can use any sort of coating as well as a wheat coating.
Okay. So you mentioned the gluten-free. Do you also, is that part of your theme also?
Not necessarily, but luckily for the gluten-free crowd, we do have all of our burgers are gluten-free. Our cheese is gluten-free.
What kind of burger are you using? Give me a break here. You keep bringing up sausage, bacon, eggs.
So we're using
the burgers.
Yeah, we're using the Beyond Burger, and that's made from non-GMO peas. And so that one is also a non-cholesterol item and plant-based. And so we're using that for the burger. We're using cheese that's made from potato starch. So that's also gluten-free. And if they're looking for gluten-free, we'll wrap the burger in fresh lettuce for them.
Oh, that's a really good. Yeah. That's a great idea. And there's other places that do that as well. For people that are watching, the type of flour that they're eating or the gluten content.
Right.
So now we got sidetracked. I was going to mention that sometimes I've noticed when there's a vegan burger involved that they use beets. And you mentioned this, the Beyond Burger uses peas, which by the way are very high in protein.
Right. There's also beet juice in the mixture with the peas. So it's a mixture of beet juice, to make it red, you know, before it's cooked. And they come looking like ground beef would look. And so there's also coconut oil in there to make it an oil substitute in there.
Okay, and I noticed you have J.L. Phil's name written down. Of course, she is the local vegan princess. There must be something that'll rhyme with that. But anyway, I ask her that every time she's here. Why, if you're vegan and you want to avoid meat, do you make products to emulate meat?
I think that it's safe to say that vegans really never went vegan because they disliked the taste of a cheeseburger or they disliked the taste of ice cream. It's always been the conversion was caused for health reasons or for, you know, love of the animals and planet. Yeah, none of us really stopped because we disliked fried chicken or the taste of a cheeseburger. So that's the real stance of a vegan.
Well, I think that's one of the best explanations. That certainly is right along what JL would say, too, because she grew up in the Midwest. And you know,
right.
She likes her meatloaf and ribs and all that kind of stuff, pork. And
I'd like to thank JL Fields for putting a boost behind us when we first started out. She was one of the first people to post about us, and she's very powerful in the vegan community, so I'd like to thank her for getting us off to a great start in December.
So let's go back, take the truck backwards a little bit here.
All righty.
And we were talking about some new things on your menu. What are some other things that you have?
The steak and cheese and jalapenos sandwich is brand new. That's doing really good, and so is our chicken parm. That's a sandwich that comes on a hoagie bun, and that's a new item as well.
So now, do you have a liquor license or wine and beer?
We do not. I don't see us getting that or anticipate getting that anytime soon. We're just now starting off. We got our new furniture in, so we're just taking it one step at a time, and we're happy to be where we're at now.
Okay. You know, I know that there are some vegan things happening, events happening in November, and I think one of which is a vegan restaurant week. Are you familiar with it at all?
I'm not. We've been a part of a few events here in the Springs area.
Pop-up markets?
Correct. Vegan pop-up markets also by invite of JL. And we're excited to be a part of more of that stuff. So anytime we get an invite, we try to make room for it on our schedule and be a part of it.
So whenever you have these so-called meat substitutes, plant-based, because they have to be reimagined, do they cost a whole lot more for you to put on your menu and then you have to charge more to the customer?
Not necessarily. So it's maybe a little more expensive than your average fast food, but less expensive than your sit-down type of restaurant. So our most expensive sandwich right now is the bacon cheeseburger, which is $7.48. So it's pretty fair. Our fries are $2.70, and it's a giant portion. The fries are shareable. They're fresh-cut potatoes.
So you mentioned the bacon. What is bacon made out of for animal plant-based?
Right. The bacon that we use is made out of a mixture of soy and wheat, which are all non-GMO.
And then do they I used to work for the turkey industry 10 years, and they came up with turkey bacon, which was, they made it look like pork bacon with it stripped, like there's something that looked like meat,
right.
Something that looked like fat. Does that work for the vegan?
Yeah, that does. This one doesn't really have the look, more the taste and the texture and the crispiness. That's what they focused on during the product development.
So you can get that with liquid smoke.
You can also do that, too, when you're making your own.
Yeah. And so, now, does liquid smoke, by chance, have any animal products in it?
I don't believe so. Everything that we bring into our facilities is all plant-based, so we won't bring anything in the doors if it's not vegan-friendly.
Okay, that sounds vegan-friendly. So do you have pets?
I don't right now, but I do love animals.
Okay, well, I know that most people who, well, many people that are practicing vegan do have some little four-legged friends.
Yeah, it's really just a matter of not enough free time for me, so I don't want to be a neglectful owner.
Well, you have gotten very, very busy, and one of the things everybody loved about your first place was the fact it was a little coffee kiosk, or had been, in the middle of a parking lot with the drive-up window.
Yeah, that worked out good for us. We outgrew it right away within the first few months, but in order to complete and finalize our lease, you know, we stayed for the full year. It was tough towards the end because we were expanding clientele and we had a lot of people coming through. So we were actually in need of better equipment, which we have now, and stuff that we can really use to up the volume.
Well, that's so exciting. You know what? It's amazing to me to see the interest in vegan diets, and certainly from a nutrition health standpoint, it's a really pretty good way to go, if nothing more than doing Meatless Mondays.
Exactly. We look at it like, you know, any start is a good start, and you don't have to commit fully to being a vegan. There's even many different levels of being a vegan. Some people are raw vegan, and they only eat raw foods. But we're here to make it easy to become a vegan or try vegan food. We're not just a restaurant for vegans, so feel free to bring your kids. They'll love anything we have, and our dining room is appropriate for any event.
Well, thank you, Dusty, for coming in today, and congratulations on your new Santana's Vegan Grill location, which is at 3220 Austin Bluffs Parkway. The hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sundays. You can call them at 271-9113 or find them on Facebook.com, Santana's Vegan Grill.
Right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dusty. Well, we have to take a short break, but we're going to be back with more Tasty News. Welcome back to the third course of KRDO Table Talk, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And this is really like old home week today.
Yes.
We're getting to have some friends back. And next up, we have Lorena Martinez, and that is her maiden name, and she's going to tell us what her married name is, because it's a tongue twister.
Jakubczyk.
Say that one more time.
Lorena Jakubczyk.
There you go. I just love that. I love the blending, the combination of all your heritage. And she is the owner of Azteca Gourmet, and she sells tamales, a very special kind of tamale. And although she has a commercial kitchen where she does her food preparation, you will find her most often at Pikes Peak Market, 315 East Pikes Peak Avenue. And they are open on Saturdays and Thursdays, noon to 4 p.m., and often you're at farmers markets, so too, but that's kind of winding down.
Yes, they are. Right now we are in Denver at the Highland Ranch Farmers Market, and then we are, this year we did expand our business doing catering, so that's another side of the business we're doing now.
Well, that's good to know, because that's very new. You haven't been catering for a while.
For a while, and that happened from just people telling me if I can go and do their parties, and then that came with bigger parties, and now we are doing offices and other stuff.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful to see that expansion. By the way, Lorena makes Oaxacan tamales, which are a little bit different. Do you want to describe the difference between Mexican?
Absolutely. I get excited
about Mexico.
I'm from Oaxaca, south of Mexico. So we do a little bit different, our tamales. We are very influenced by the South American style. So we use banana leaf. We are, we make our banana leaf, our tamales made of banana leaf. They're different in size also. Traditional tamales range from 3 ounces to 5 ounces. Ours start at 8 ounces each tamale. So they're big. And the ratio of either we do the vegan option, the vegetarian, and the meat option. And also one sweet treat that is a dessert tamale. So they're wrapping banana leaf, except for the dessert that is wrapping the regular corn husk. And we do have developed lots of flavors in each kind.
Now, tamales you might get in Mexico City, a dessert tamale, they're tinted pink often.
Yes, they use a natural food color. In my case, I develop from our wonderful fruits that we have here, seasonal. Like, for example, during the summer, I offer the piña colada. Then I had to do one with peach palisade. That was a hit. It's just like a peach pie, but you get the filling with a tamale. And we are getting ready to do our traditional for the upcoming season. We do a pumpkin pie tamale. We do two versions, with chocolate or without chocolate. We do a banana foster. So it's a mix of banana, plantains, and we roast one and we top it on the tamale. So you get all plantain tamale.
So now, whenever you have the savory tamales and then the dessert, are they the same size, or do the dessert?
No, the dessert are 5 ounces each. So actually, after a nice big meal, you can share one dessert tamale. That would be perfect for two people.
Okay. So then I also wanted everyone to know, you do a very special masa. It's not, you don't, you are a sneaky little cook when it comes to incorporating more nutrition. And you did that for your families, to get your children to eat more veggies.
Absolutely. Our masa, we do all the process, the regular process, the mixing of either the broths or the either vegan broth or the meats or water. But in our masa, for example, we throw veggies. So when you open up that tamale, it's going to be slightly green or slightly brown, depending on the type of tamale that we're making. For example, if I'm making a kale vegan tamale, I'm going to mix my masa with the kale. So it's all kale about. And then on top, we're making a preparation out of kale. So you get nutritious all the way. From the moment you open that tamale, you are biting veggies.
Okay. And so you also, in addition to doing the tamales, you do salsa.
We do salsa. And that, when you go to Oaxaca, you get to have your meal, of course. But they bring to the table different salsas, from the spicy one to the sweet one. So now we're bringing that. We have an avocado sauce that it's authentic Oaxaca-style avocado sauce. We have our traditional pico de gallo, but we do a twist. So in the summer, we offer it with the peach palisade or the pineapple, which it makes a vibrant, sweet and spicy salsa. We are introducing right now our green salsa. It's made of raw tomatillos, lime, a little bit of onion, and then that's it. We put it in the blender, and it makes an explosion of flavors in it because it's raw. And it has a little bit of citrus in there.
Okay, now do you sell those at the market also?
Yes.
In a quart jar?
We do 12 ounces, but now we are thinking about, because customers said, in two or three bites, the salsa is done. So we're thinking about doing 16 ounces.
Oh.
So everybody gets to eat that salsa.
Yeah. So now how are your tamales priced? Let's start with the savory. And you have meat. You really haven't.
I do have meat. It goes from different prices. The vegan is an 8 ounces tamale, and it's $5. And then we go to a 10 ounces tamale, and it's the vegetarian. And we do that increase because we want to put that cheese for the cheese lovers, extra cheese. And then for the meat lovers, we want that person, when that opens up that tamale, you see meat. The tamale is covering meat. So you have a 12 ounces tamale and almost 6 ounces of meat, the sauce, and like.
What are some of the meat? Do you do chicken, pork,
I do
beef?
Yes, we do all the meats. And today I wanted to share with you our new tamale that we're thinking for the holiday season. I just got from the House of Smoke over 100 pounds of veal and elk.
Wow.
So we are going to develop some specific sauces, some special sauces for the holiday, and it will be offered just the holiday. But we have, for example, our green chili, and I want to tell about our green chili. It's from Puebla.
Oh, good.
I love Puebla green chili, and we got our chilies from DeSanti Farms.
Uh-huh.
It's an incredible chili. We make the green chili tamale with chicken. It's all I gotta tell you, it's spicy, but all of the customers that said, it's a spicy that I cannot put down. I keep going and I keep going. And to soften or to get another twist from that green chili, 3 years ago, we started putting carrots and potatoes because you get the bite of the chili, but then the comfort of the potato and then the sweetness of the carrot.
The potato kind of mellows out the initial surge of heat from
the
chili. So that's a great combination. And what about the mole?
Yes, I wanted you to ask me about the mole. Last summer, I had the opportunity to go to Oaxaca, and that was, we have 7 moles. And every summer, I go there, and I learn one. Well, the chef that is my friend that always teaches me about how to make each mole every summer, he said, you are graduated from the moles, because we are going to make the black mole, which is over 40 ingredients.
Oh, it's incredible, the amount of work that goes into
this. It is. We got early, like as far as 5 o'clock in the morning, to roast chilies, to do all this preparation, but it was worth it.
Do you use the stone grinder thing? I forgot what it's called.
Metate.
Metate, yeah.
I did not. Not in here in the United States. But if you go
I bet you use a blender, I'm
guessing.
We
use a blender here. We use a blender. So it came out extraordinary flavor.
Can you tell any difference whether it's been ground, the chilies on the metate versus
the metate? Yes, you know, and I have some videos that I should post on Facebook. When you make all these preparation of the 40 ingredients, they take it to what they call molino. And that molino, it's basically a grinder. But the grinder, what grinds all the ingredients, it's 2 stones. That's what I was told when I was taking pictures and video of that place. Versus the blender, it doesn't grind perfectly as that stone. So the blender, you cannot tell the difference because after we have that blend, then we put in a colander to get that cream of all these ingredients, and then we make that simmer and make the mole.
And I just can't imagine you're doing all that effort and work. Does it take you a couple of days to get the mole done?
It's more of a week, and because we are not making mole for the family. Now we're making mole for a lot of tamales. So, and we make extra. So it takes basically a week selecting the chilies, grilling all the fresh tomatoes and tomatillos, and then we have to saute some have nuts and almonds. So it's a process.
Boy, is it ever. Now, do you sell the mole in little containers?
That's what I've been asked, and I am thinking about it because I should share these mole with all our customers and have them try them with their own food. But for now, we have the tamale, and later you'll get to have your own mole and pour it on any meat or any veggie. Because the mole, I'm starting to design a vegetarian, vegan mole, so it will be all based with vegetable broth, and then the other one will be with chicken broth.
And for it, with a mole, will you have a veggie?
I will. I'm thinking about, because it's just fresh vegetables and then chilies. So why not, instead of doing a chicken broth, doing a vegan mole?
That sounds like it would be plausible.
Yes.
Now, do you put chocolate in every mole?
Yes, we do for the coloradito mole and the black mole. The other mole is like the green mole. It's just chilies, tomatillos, fresh herbs. So we call it mole because it's a sauce. Basically, when you say mole, people think we're talking about the chocolate sauce. Mole means sauce.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, did you go to Oaxaca this summer?
I did go for a month.
Oh.
Yes, I did go for a month. Not over the seasons during the peak seasons, but I did go for a month. That's when I learned how to do the mole negro.
Great. Well, Lorena, always a pleasure to talk to you, and it's always you've got so much information. It's amazing. So if you need to get hold of Lorena and you'd like to have some special Christmas tamales, you can call her at 602-9086 or Azteca Gourmet. That's AZTECAGOURMET.com.
Absolutely.
And thank you again, Lorena, for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Teresa. Love to be here.
Well, we're coming up on a short break, but there's still one more scrumptious segment to go.
won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it.
Welcome back to KRDO News Radio for now, the last of our course today, which I often call dessert. And my goodness, Evelyn, you look like you are prepared for a lecture here. You came prepared, right?
I sure did.
This is, Evelyn, correct me if I mispronounce your name now. Davale?
Davila.
Davila. Yes, that's beautiful. Now, Evelyn, you are from Puerto Rico.
Yes.
You grew up in Puerto Rico. You have been lucky enough to find yourself an Argentine gentleman.
Very lucky.
And not only that, he had a mother that had a whole pile of recipes that you were able to dig into.
Adrian inherited the craft of cooking homemade foods and recipes from his mother.
Right.
And she learned from her mother. And he's of Italian descent also. So we cook a lot of pastas aside from just empanadas, pizzas. So, yeah, and then I learned from him.
Okay, now, you have a company called Empanadas Milongo.
Milonga.
Okay, well, that's right, Milonga.
Yes.
Okay.
Just like the tango.
Yeah, exactly like the tango. Thank you for saying that. And you are also at Pikes Peak Market at 315 East Pikes Peak Avenue.
Yes.
And you are right along with Lorena. You have booths in there. And now you make your empanadas at home.
Yeah, we actually go to a commercial kitchen that we go to, and they are all handcrafted. So, and we use love to use fresh product whenever possible, local.
Mm-hmm.
And we bake them, which they make them better than,
it's
healthier.
They look fried.
Than fried.
Yeah. Sorry, we don't have television here, or at least smell-o-vision, because these empanadas look absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, I was in the market, and I was so fortunate to find you there that day. And it was really educational because if you just look at the empanadas, they all look pretty much the same. But actually, you have a little code, a pinching code on the pastry.
Yes.
That tells you what is what.
Yeah.
For instance, I think that might be a cheese empanada.
That's a chicken. It has three small little horns.
Okay, so if I can describe this, it's a circle of pastry that's folded in half over a filling, and then she crimps along the edges to make a little a scallop. But on this particular one, three of the scallops are a little bit bigger across the top. So then if Evelyn is not at the booth to tell you what you're buying, you would know that that's a chicken empanada because it's got those three little earrings on top.
Yeah.
And then what's the difference between the chicken and the spinach empanada?
So the base for the empanadas is always basically the same.
Right.
So we have lots of scallions, we have lots of onions, we have lots of garlic, paprika. In the spinach, which is fresh, that one would have red pepper, onion, sauteed onions, ricotta, and parmesan cheese. And the chicken, which we bake with herbs to give it aroma, then we mince it, and that gets sauteed with all the onions and scallions and garlic and all the seasoning.
But then whenever you get ready to pinch it, it's all folded like that.
Yes.
But the two little end corners where you would start at the beginning of the crescent.
We seal it that way.
You fold it up kind of so that you see that you got an extra little wedge on each corner.
Mm-hmm.
So then you know that's spinach.
Yeah,
right?
And that is just the traditional way of actually closing the empanada.
Uh-huh.
So in like, for example, the beef is a braid that, you know,
it's
you
more,
twist
more
over.
Twisted.
It's a little more twisted. And then you have the caprese, which is an open empanada like basket.
I loved that one. That was really, really good.
That's the tomato and the mozzarella.
Yeah, that was, it was so good. And it looks like a little pastry cup.
Yeah.
But and I'd never seen an open empanada before. I didn't realize. I wouldn't have called it that because I always expect them to be
folded. I like that it breaks the monotony between one and the other.
Right.
And then you have the ham and cheese, which we actually do the same thing. It's like a half moon,
right,
but we fold it over into that little bun lookalike with a little belly.
It looks like more like a dumpling.
It could be like a dumpling, yes.
So now, I believe your husband is the pastry maker.
Yes, that is definitely Adrian's forte. He cooks, he makes a dough. Mm-hmm. He rolls it out to a sheeter. When he rolls it out, he rolls a hand roll over it to make the perfectly round, circular empanada. And from there, we take it and then we fill it up and we start sealing it.
Oh, my gosh. These things are amazing. You will love them.
Thank you.
Now, in the Hispanic tradition, tamales are usually around the holidays. Are empanadas, is there a special time of year for empanadas or tradition?
No, empanadas is an everyday thing. It's something you can either have for breakfast. It's something you can have for a quick lunch. Definitely something you can have before dinner. Argentinians tend to eat late. Mm-hmm. So they usually, you know, I have early meals, 7 o'clock. They tend to eat at 10, 11 o'clock at night. And so that's just the pre to the meal. And it's a very universal dish, because in Puerto Rico we also make them, but they have another name and the flavors are different. And the way they come into Argentina is through the Spanish and Italians when they come from Europe, migrated during the war. So, and then the Argentinians give it their own twist.
And is one of the twists this sauce over here, and you have a name for it?
Criolla.
And it kind of sounds like Creole. But it's Criolla. Criolla. You have that rolling Y there. And what's in it?
So the criolla is two or three different bell peppers, red, yellow, orange, fresh parsley, fresh garlic, white wine, vinegar, olive oil. And so we let that sit. A little bit of onion. I like to put a little bit of onion there to give it a little bit, you know, extra notch. And so that's basically it. You let it simmer, and it's just the longer it sits, the better it tastes.
I know, and you cannot have an empanada without that sauce. Would everyone here agree that's had them? I see a lot of heads nodding. Everybody's rubbing their tummy and looking at this pan of empanadas that I have hidden over here behind myself so that no one else can get hold of it, right? So how long have you been making empanadas, you and your husband?
I'll be honest with you. One of the reasons why I marry him is because of his cooking skills.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first invitation I got, so it was all over after that. And it's been 10 years. And so in my travels to Argentina, I see four generations of children and family sitting in these big tables, eating these fabulous meals. So the 10 years that I've been married with him, it's been like a life-changing experience for me.
Oh, nice.
Yes. I come from a small family, so it's very, very, very nice.
He has a very big family, I'm guessing.
Yes. We have to take turns when we go there, like between the Lopez and the Almendanos. So it's always like a venture, and it's full of laughter and conversations, and there's a lot of table talk, you know, so it's great.
You need to expand, like Dusty, who was here earlier. He started off with his little kiosk, and you're starting with your little empanada stand.
Little empanada shop.
Yeah, and you need to do that because that's something that's missing in our cuisine in Colorado Springs. We don't have a real Argentine kind of restaurant, Argentina.
Well, that's one of the reasons why Adrian and I were so enthusiastic and so excited about this, because this is exactly what we want to do. We want to bring that new flavor to the community. And seeing how the explosion of flavors and culture are taking over, I'm just thrilled to be here right now doing what I'm doing. And the community has had a great response to the flavor and something new. I get people from all over, Uruguay, Peru, Chile, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Mexico. And so I'm very, very proud. And, yeah, we would like to expand our operation. That's part of the goals. So
now let's say that somebody might want to get in touch with Lorena for her tamales. How can they reach you if they would like to order a batch of empanadas, maybe some little appetizer empanadas for holiday party?
We do. We can cater. I have a bite-sized empanada called copetines, and that also comes with the sauce, either criolla or chimichurri that we also make fresh. That's a parsley-based, more traditional sauce. And they can reach us at 719-243-3597. That's my cell number. Or You can go on our social media, Facebook at Empanadas Milonga, and we also, you can follow us in Instagram at Evelini at Empanadas Milonga at COS.
Okay, so in case that went by a little too fast, it's on Facebook, and it's Empanadas Milonga.
Yes.
And I'm guessing there should be a .com after that for Facebook.
Yeah.
And then her phone number is 243-3597. You can also find her at the Pikes Peak Market, just like you can find Lorena. There, she's on one side, Evelyn's on the other. And the market is now open Thursdays through Saturdays from noon until 4 p.m., perfect for lunch, wouldn't you say?
Yes, yes.
Evelyn, thank you so much for coming in and sharing part of your culture with us and your delicious food. Appreciate
my pleasure, it. My pleasure. Thank you, Teresa, for having us, and thank you for to your audience also. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And thanks to all of you for listening today to KRDO Table Talk on 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. Presented by Ranch Foods Direct. If you miss some part of the show, go to KRDO.com and you'll find podcasts there. Hope you enjoyed the show. Next week, we're going to hear about gingerbread houses, special pizza, candy treats, and butcher shops. Thank you again for listening. Teresa Farney, the food editor at the Gazette.
You've been listening to the KRDO Table Talk Show with Teresa Farney, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. Join Teresa and her guests for the Table Talk Party Saturday afternoons at 1. Listen live at KRDO.com and on demand at KRDONewsRadio.podbean.com.